noted.
There was a new element afoot.
Ничего не пишите.
Не пишите.
Ничего не читайте.
Читайте.
Ничего не говорите.
Ничего не печатайте.
The very foundation of the market, the numbers that represented the sanctity of the market, the reliability of the market, were becoming unreliable because the accountants had violated the trust the government had placed in them. I knew that the great accounting firms of America had engaged in practices that were very, very questionable and very often fraudulent. We were seeing more and more and more of these cases.
How widespread did it become?
Extremely widespread.
Those who ran many of America's corporations were faking profits on an enormous scale. They did this because it would then increase their personal bonuses.
Come on, they would say, isn't there another way of looking at those numbers? Can we compromise? Can we spread, for example, this misrepresentation over a number of years? In all of these cases, the effect is one of corruption. We were trusted. We had a rational system based on numbers that could not be disputed. We ended up now with a fictitious, irrational system.
The officials, whose job was to regulate the market, tried to persuade politicians in Congress to act and expose this, but they were blocked at every turn. They found that all the key politicians were being given millions of dollars in campaign contributions by both the corporations and the accounting firms.
I mean, massive amounts of money were spent in lobbying committees of Congress. I knew they were motivated by concern for business interests.
You mean they've been bribed?
No, I wouldn't use that word. That's your word.
What word would you use?
Seduced.
Despite the growing evidence of corruption, the Clinton administration portrayed the boom as something revolutionary. It was a genuine democracy of the marketplace in which everyone at all levels of society was benefiting. But this was completely untrue. If one compares the incomes of Americans in real terms between the end of the 1970s and the end of the 1990s, those at the bottom of society saw their income actually fall. Those in the middle saw a slight increase, while those at the top increased by an extraordinary amount.
If you take income after taxes, you find that the average household cash income in the bottom fifth of Americans went from $9,300 a year to $8,700. You find that the average household cash income in the middle fifth, the median, went from about $31,800 to $33,200. You take the top 1% in the same time period, you go from $256,000 a year to $644,000 a year. That, to me, is the simplest set of numbers I can use to sum it all up. I have many variations, but those just eat right out of the box at you. It's just incredible how you can have something like that.
Underlying the political experiments of the 1990s had been a simplified idea of human beings. That at heart they were just self-seeking individuals whose needs could be best met through the marketplace, not politics. If left unregulated, the markets would benefit everyone. In the face of this simple, irresistible argument, politicians had given away much of their power. But what had actually happened was the return of inequalities and social injustices not seen for 100 years. The very thing politicians were supposed to prevent. Politicians now found themselves weakened and corrupted and without the power to change society. And millions of individuals were left without representation and even less control over their lives.
Here is the ultimate irony. Because as people began to believe they are just self-seeking, acquisitive individuals, that the democratic systems are fundamentally not nearly as good as the market for fulfilling whatever it is you want, people allowed elites to take over politics and politics to be distorted and corrupted so that politics became even less capable of fulfilling people's needs. And meanwhile, the market did not give people good jobs, secure jobs. And so ultimately, the individual cannot be fulfilled either through politics or through the market.
What had given the simplified view of human beings much of its power had been ideas drawn from both mathematics and biology. As this program has shown, it underpinned a powerful model of ourselves as almost computer-like machines whose instincts had largely been encoded within them millions of years before. But now, questions were beginning to be asked in the scientific world about whether this was too simple a view of human beings. In genetics, the idea that the DNA is the all-controlling set of instructions for life has been replaced by a more complex idea. Scientists have shown that a cell actually chooses and edits which parts of the DNA to use, depending on the environmental forces acting on it. In one of the key experiments that showed that the self-interested actions of genes controlled behaviour has also been questioned. Anthropologists looked into the history of the Yanomamo tribes and discovered a pattern to their violence that could be explained by very different causes than genes. It only seemed to happen when the Yanomamo came into contact with Westerners who gave them goods. The tribes fought with each other for access to those goods.
What I discovered was that there was a pattern in which the warfare became more intense or happened at all during times of greater Western penetration into the area. You're not going to get any help by looking at their reproductive striving. I think what will explain that for you is what is the historical interactions with these powerful outside forces. That explains when and where they fight.
And those powerful outside forces are what?
The powerful outside forces are predominantly the Westerners who come in who are sources of these much-desired goods.
Anthropologists have looked again at the film of the axe fight. They argue that what one actually sees is a struggle between two factions. One, a group who have been given machetes by the filmmaker, Napoleon Chagnon. The other, a group of visitors to the village who are refusing to leave because they too want access to these precious gifts. The real cause of the fight, they say, is not the genes, but a struggle of politics and power aggravated by the filmmaker himself. But Chagnon completely disagrees and stands by his experiment.
No, I don't think the axe fight happened because I was there.
You sure?
Well, are you sure your father's your father? I think it would be a reasonable presumption that this axe fight would have happened whether or not I was there. And the very fact that I was there and documented it was not the cause of it. Because axe fights or club fights happen in many other villages when I'm not there. And I've documented these as well through informants who describe them. So I don't think this particular fight was anything extraordinary and out of the pattern of Yanomamo violence.
You don't think a film crew in the middle of a fight in a village has an effect?
No, I don't. That's the end of my interview.
And in mathematics, the man who had created the equations that lay behind the simplified economic model of society was also expressing doubts about the assumptions on which his work had been based. He was the mathematician John Nash. Nash, who has now recovered from paranoid schizophrenia and still works at Princeton, has come to believe that the purely rational, calculating creatures in his model, what he calls the human as businessman, have little connection with the complexity of real human beings.
I have had some trouble myself on the psychological level. I've been in mental hospitals, and so I may be developing a pattern of rationalizing. I realize that what I had said at some time may have overemphasized rationality or some type of thinking, and I don't want to overemphasize rational thinking on the part of humans. human beings are much more complicated than like the human being at business, as a businessman. Human behavior is not entirely motivated by self-interest of each pure human.
But the underlying assumption of game theory is that it is.
Game theory works in terms of self-interest. But it was like the viewpoint that some game theory concepts could be unsound. There's over-dependence on rationality. That is my enlightenment.
And Nash is not alone. In economics, the whole idea that the free market is an efficient system is coming under serious attack. Over the past 5 years, many of the Nobel Prizes for economics have been awarded for research that shows that markets do not create stability or order. That what Adam Smith called the invisible hand is invisible because it isn't actually there. And politicians do have a powerful role to play in controlling the markets. And a new discipline called behavioral economics has been studying whether people really do behave as the simplified model says they do. Their studies show that only two groups in society actually behave in a rational, self-interested way in all experimental situations. One is economists themselves. The other is psychopaths.
Is that all there is? Is that all there is? The final part of The Trap is next Sunday at 9. Next tonight, Combat Opera do their own personal take on binge drinking here on BBC Two. And on BBC Four, 70 years on and very little changed, Design Classics takes a look at the tube map.
If that's all there is.
Your life remains continuing. Your soul never dies.
Your soul never dies.
Your soul never dies.
Never die. quase nada, simplesmente aconteceu. A reverberar na brisa que anuncia você. Do que o céu neste amanhecer.
Девушка в СССР.
О, спасибо, Данкишен.
Бэха, бэха, ванси. Ванси, 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 ванси. Welcome, 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 welcome. This is Trancy, 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 focus. Focus, 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 strike, focus, strike, focus, strike, focus, strike, focus, 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 Tibet, 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 focus, focus. Focus, the pen on the table. Focus. Focus, focus. Focus. Focus, focus, Tibet, Tibet. Tibet, a state of table, a state of the table. There's a table, there's a table. Resten van tabakspand zijn voor ons geen afval. Resten van tabakspanten zijn voor ons geen afval. Resten. Resten. Resten van tabaksplanten zijn voor ons geen afval. Resten van tabaksplanten zijn voor ons geen afval.
j'ai beau vouloir m'éloigner de tout ce qui nous fut commun, j'ai beau vouloir oublier pourquoi j'ai tant de chagrin. Les gens autour de moi
Thank you. Yeah. hab sich schon fast gemacht, aber es blüht. Ein roter Ball in ihr Becken, es läuft nicht mehr grün. Ihr Berg sind ohne Gott, sind ihr Wissen, ihr Zug, ihr
to be a high quality brand, I'll rip you off.
Færre kirkelige højtider, flere ikke kirkelige højtider.
Hvad handler om at have brug for nogen?
Ja, det kan jeg godt lide.
At gøre elskov til religiøs musik.
Okay, glædelig jul.
Hej.
Nej, hej. Jeg sidder lige og lytter til lidt. Jeg sidder lige og prøver at finde ud af, hvilken vintersolværvssang vi skal høre.
Okay, men så kan vi godt tage den på den måde. Glædelig vintersolværv.
Glædelig vintersolværv. For et par dage siden.
Ja. Nu kommer lyset tilbage om sider.
Ja, ej. Huh. Det har været lidt hårdt i år, synes jeg. Med mørket.
Med mørket. Nu bliver det længere dage. Og hvad er det for noget, du har taget med i den anledning?
Jeg havde taget med, det er også lidt et brud på den her nye musik, men det er bare fordi Vintersolbjerg er min... Jamen det, jeg føler også sådan, jeg kan snart... Jeg kan ikke komme med flere undskyld længere. Nu må jeg bare gøre det.
Men det er fordi, at i januar, så er det der, hvor man begynder at lave nye musikudgivelser. Det er også fordi, der er ikke... Altså, som, okay, der er mange nye udgivelser, men altså, lige om lidt, så kommer der ordentligt smæk på.
Ja, det er det. Så vi skal... Jeg tænkte bare lige, at jeg vil bruge en anledning til at spille en...
Lidt lejlighedsmusik.
Ja, præcis. Til at synge en... Eller til ikke til at synge... Nej, det...
Ej, det... Jeg vil lige bruge anledning til at synge en julesalme.
Ej, det slipper I for. Nej, jeg tænkte, at vi skulle bare høre en sang, som Danmarks Radios Pigekor synger.
Ja.
Måske vi lige kan høre den først, så siger jeg noget om den bagefter. Den hedder Vores sol er blevet kold. Men nu skal jeg jo så lige finde ud af, hvilken arrangement det skal være i. Nej.
Det er fedt.
Nej. Det er den her. Det er faktisk heller ikke den her, jeg gerne vil høre. Hvor er den henne? Det kan altså godt være, men jeg gerne lige prøve at spille den igen.
Mm-hmm.
Jeg tror, det er den her i stedet. Nej, heller ikke. Hvor er den henne? Det er det, der er en fucking bitch ved, at der er så mange forskellige versioner. To sekunder.
Er det den?
Nej, det er en Champions League-reklame. Nej, sorry. Ej, måske jeg bare skal droppe den der sang. Jeg kan ikke finde den rigtige version. Grunden til, at jeg godt kan lide den der Johannes V. Jensen, Hvor sol er blevet kold, er fordi det var den første værtslige salme, han skrev. Han ville gerne fejre færre kirkelige højtider, flere ikke kirkelige højtider.
Er det ham, der er kongens fald, eller hvad?
Ja, præcis.
Nå.
Og så synes bare, det er en meget god sang.
Har han skrevet mange sange, eller hvad?
Han har skrevet ret mange salmer, tror jeg.
Altså værtslige? Altså mener du, altså som med E, eller mener du værtslige som sådan?
Altså med E, sådan okay. Knyttet til livet på jorden, ikke? Det er dig, der læser teologi.
Jamen, jeg skulle bare lige høre, om det var der, vi var. Det var hans første ikke-værtslige.
Nej, det var hans første værtslige salme.
About that time. Nå, okay, scheisse.
Nå, det var lige et sidespring. Måske vi bare skal høre noget andet musik.
Okay, men så kan vi høre noget andet musik.
Yes.
Der var sgu ikke nogen jul alligevel. Der var heller ikke noget fint, som der. Yes, så er vi i gang. Du lytter til Boogie med Jolanne og Arnette på The Lake Radio. Yes, så spiller jeg bare noget helt andet. Der var, for nogle tid siden ville jeg gerne spille et nummer, som jeg aldrig nåede at spille. Det var en af de tidspunkter, jeg bladrede mig med, at jeg havde en bred musiksmag. Og at jeg havde sådan kigget musik op alle mulige steder. Og det er så en sang af Park Hee-jin, som er fra Sydkorea og som bor i L.A., som har lavet et album. Det forklarer jeg ham bagefter. Nu spiller sangen.
I need you.
I know.